And I love how he talks about kind of using our time, our resources to invest in things that are certainly eternal. And we'll talk a little bit about that in our sermon today. But before we get started, would you just bow with me in a word of prayer? So Father God, we thank you for this past week, for Krista and her efforts to teach us about what you are doing in the country of Mali and really throughout the ends of the earth. And Father, I pray that each and every one of us will awaken to kingdom reality, that we'll want to reach regions beyond throughout the ends of the earth, but also want to reach people across the street, that we will be challenged and eager to serve, challenged and eager to share your love with others, whether they be in Jerusalem or Judea and Samaria or the ends of the earth. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. And so if I were going to take a poll of people in our church, I believe 10 out of 10 would affirm some of the following, that 10 out of 10 of you would like to see our church grow and thrive, right? You would like to see lives transformed by the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ, that you would love to see God's love manifest itself in people's lives, that you'd love to see our building kind of overflowing with people, especially as we raise up the next generation. You would love to see formerly dysfunctional families learn how to live God's way in healthy ways. I mean, you would love to see former addicts be set free. You would love to see people that were just living for themselves or even living in despair be given hope because they realized that they were created by their Creator for a purpose to glorify Him and to bring others into their Creator's kingdom. I realize 10 out of 10 of you would probably love to see baptisms happen on a regular basis right here in this sanctuary or the local Conowongo Creek when weather permits. And I think 10 out of 10 of you would love to see people growing, being discipled, growing in their faith, no matter where they are in their spiritual walk, but taking that next step in maturity towards Christ-likeness. I think it's pretty safe to say if we took a poll, 10 out of 10 of you would say, yes, I would love to see this happen right here at Frewsburg Alliance Church. If I take a poll, I think many of you would also affirm that you've experienced the following, that you may have did a good deed for someone and said, God bless you. I did this because I'm a follower of Jesus Christ. Or you gave a very crystal clear and a very impassioned gospel presentation, told the people what Jesus did for them, only to be met with a deaf ear or maybe even antagonism. Maybe even on a more basic level, most of you, if not all of you, probably have extended an invitation to church or even just a social event that the church has held, only to be given the cold shoulder or told no time and time and time again. You know, many Christians have experienced this over the centuries. In fact, great evangelist in the late 1800s by the name of Charles Spurgeon. I think he explained very well why this may happen to each and every one of us. When he wrote this, he says, unless the Holy Ghost blesses the word, we who preach the gospel are of all men most miserable. And of course, this doesn't just apply to men and women. And it doesn't just apply to people who are vocational pastors. It applies to all of us who wants to share God's love, both through word and deed. It's probably most of us here in this room this applies to. For we have attempted a task that is most impossible. We have entered on a sphere where nothing but the supernatural will ever avail. If the Holy Spirit does not renew the hearts of our hearers, we cannot do it. If the Holy Ghost does not regenerate them, we cannot. If He does not send the truth home into their souls, we might as well speak into the ear of a corpse. I think many of you probably have experienced that, right? That you gave this impassioned plea for somebody to at least open themselves up to the truth and the love of God. And it was like you were preaching into the ear of a corpse. That is putting it bluntly, but probably very truthfully, probably very accurately. I'm sure that is how many of us feel. But that is why core value number 6 of the Christian and Missionary Alliance is that without the Holy Spirit's empowerment, we can accomplish nothing. And nothing really does mean nothing. At least nothing of eternal significance. Nothing that advances the kingdom of God, the domain of the King, in which God rules and reigns in people's hearts and people's lives. And this core value comes directly from Scripture. Because Jesus said basically this very thing, just in different words. But He said this in John chapter 15. It's on the night He was about to be betrayed. One of the last words that He was going to say to His disciples. He tells them kind of this parable. In John chapter 15, verses 4 and 5, He says, to remain in Me, and I will remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. And of course, the vine is kind of the trunk of a grape plant. And of course, the branches are the branches. That's pretty self-explanatory. He goes on to say, neither can you bear fruit or do anything of significance unless you remain in Me. And we talk about remaining in Him. That means to have this connection with Him, to maintain not just a relationship with Him, but a passionate, vibrant, covenantal relationship with Him in which our spirit is continuing to connect with the Holy Spirit indwelling in each and every believer, to go after this with white-hot passion. So He goes on to say that, I am the vine, you are the branches. If a person remains in Me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. I mean, this is a promise from God that you will bear fruit if you remain in Him. But apart from Me, you can do nothing. And nothing truly means nothing. And the Apostle Paul knew this to be true as well. He wrote about this in the book of 1 Corinthians. Talked about how he approached ministry when he came to Corinth, and of course, not just this city, but every city in which he did his missionary journeys. But he writes this in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 1 through 5. He says, when I came to you, brothers, I didn't come with eloquence or superior wisdom as I proclaimed to you the testimony about God. For I resolved to know nothing while I was with you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. I came to you in weakness and fear and with much trembling. And my message and my preaching were not with wise and persuasive words, but with a demonstration of the Spirit's power, so that your faith might not rest on men's wisdom, but God's power. Give you another example that the apostles, the disciples of Jesus, were very cowardly men. When Jesus was captured by the Roman soldiers, every one of them fled. In fact, Peter wanted to attend the trial, but he was confronted by a simple peasant girl. He denied that he even knew Jesus, not just once, twice, but 3 times, and he fled. Only the Apostle John had the courage to attend the crucifixion, to be there for his friend. while he lay there being tortured and dying. And in fact, only Peter and John, those two were the only disciples that had the courage to go to the tomb when the women who went there to anoint Jesus' body came back and reported to the apostles that Jesus had not been there. In fact, he had appeared to them and said that Jesus had been risen from the dead. The rest of the apostles stayed back in the upper room because they were afraid to even leave. But yet, fast forward 50 days after the crucifixion and resurrection, we see the apostles leaving the upper room, going out in the middle of the Feast of Pentecost, in which there were literally thousands, if not a million people inhabiting the city of Jerusalem. And they were boldly proclaiming, preaching the truth of God, preaching the resurrection. So what happened between that first Easter weekend, 50 days later at that festival of Pentecost? Was that the Holy Spirit during that festival of Pentecost came upon the disciples. They preached the word boldly, and they literally changed the world, turned the world upside down. And you and I are in that same exact situation. We can do nothing, and I mean nothing of eternal significance, nothing for the kingdom of God, without the empowering and the indwelling of God's Holy Spirit, without His empowering. You might be thinking, well, what exactly does that look like? What do we mean by the indwelling, the filling, the empowering of the Holy Spirit? Well, I think that can be kind of summed up in one verse found in the New Testament. In fact, in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 18, which simply says, "Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit." So what the Apostle Paul is doing is contrasting being filled with wine, being drunk on wine, which we talk about being what? Under the influence. But instead, be under the influence of the Holy Spirit. Of course, when you're under the influence of alcohol, that clouds your thinking, but when we're under the influence of God's Holy Spirit, He allows us to think more clearly. In fact, He transforms our mind. Holy Spirit works, allows us to understand God's Word. Holy Spirit reveals things to us as we pray and commune with God. The Holy Spirit instills us with these supernatural virtues called the fruit of the Spirit, of love and joy, and peace, and patience, and kindness, and goodness, and faithfulness, and gentleness, and self-control. Those are the things, those are the virtues we live out when we allow ourselves to be under the influence of the Holy Spirit, when we die to ourselves so that God's Holy Spirit can take control. Holy Spirit infuses us with spiritual gifts. These are supernatural abilities given to us by the Holy Spirit at the point of our salvation. But it's up to us to develop those gifts and use them for the kingdom. Too often we try to do things for the kingdom in our own natural talents instead of yielding to the influence of the Holy Spirit and operating in our spiritual gifts. Allow the Holy Spirit to work through us, to instill us with these supernatural abilities. And of course, these spiritual gifts allow us not only to share God's love with those that don't know Him, but allows us to build up the body of Christ as well. Natural talents result in nothing for the kingdom. Spiritual gifts allow for the advancement of the kingdom. You might be thinking, why don't we see the advancement of the kingdom? What inhibits the Holy Spirit working in our lives? What inhibits the filling of the Holy Spirit in our lives? Well, I really think that there are four main reasons that I just kind of want to go through. I don't want to say too rapid fire, but we don't camp on things. I want to give an overview. Don't want to camp on it too long. I think a big reason of why we don't experience the indwelling, the filling of the Holy Spirit, first and foremost, is ignorance. And what I mean by ignorance is just kind of a lack of knowledge or a lack of education. We read in Acts chapter 19 that the Apostle Paul, in one of his missionary journeys, goes to the city of Ephesus. He meets some very God-fearing people, and he talks about what kind of baptism that they had received. And he said, well, John's baptism, when that was a baptism of repentance. But he talks about, have you received the baptism of the Holy Spirit? And they said, we haven't even heard of the Holy Spirit. We didn't know that a Holy Spirit even exists. And of course, it is the Holy Spirit that regenerates us, that illuminates our minds so that we can understand the truth of God. And so they weren't connected to their heavenly Savior because they weren't illuminated by the Holy Spirit. They didn't have a Trinitarian view of God. Now, I know in the church I grew up in, maybe you've had similar experiences, those of you that did grow up in church. I grew up in a church in which they talked about Jesus a lot. They talked about God the Father. They didn't talk a whole lot about the Holy Spirit. Kind of the joke was that the Holy Trinity was God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Bible. They kind of left the Holy Spirit out of it. Sometimes we don't experience kind of the indwelling, the empowerment of the Holy Spirit because of either ignorance, but also bad theology. I truly believe that there are theologies that are off, that are just not true, that are being taught. Two big ones is the theology that we call cessationism, which just means that the miraculous gifts, that the working of the Holy Spirit has kind of stopped or it's ceased, hence the name cessationism. That basically that the Jesus and the disciples were empowered by the Holy Spirit to as kind of sign gifts to kind of show people in the world that the message of Jesus Christ, that the fact that he was God in the flesh was true. And so, they had to kind of prove this truth by doing miraculous gifts. But once the Bible was completed, that the gifts ceased because everybody now has the truth of the Bible to believe. I believe that is false. I don't think there's anything in the Bible that says that the gifts have stopped. Or there's another theology that's called dispensationalism, which means that kind of miracles happen in dispensations or kind of happen in waves. So we talk about the Exodus from Egypt, the time of Moses and the plagues and traveling through the wilderness and conquering the promised land was one wave of miracles. Another wave of miracles happened during the ministry of Elijah and Elisha. And of course, there was another wave of miracles during Jesus, the time of Jesus and the apostles. And we await another wave of miracles during the end times. That's going to be the miracle of all miracles. Funny thing is that I started reading the Bible for myself, even though I was taught that kind of theology. And as I mentioned, I didn't see some very convincing, shall we say, interpretation of Scripture or that led to those conclusions. I didn't see anywhere in the Bible that says that the gifts have stopped. Or, I read the Bible, and yes, I think maybe there were some heightened eras of miracles, but I see miracles happening all throughout the Bible. Also, I started reading some books on church history, and I read about movements after movement of God throughout the centuries all over the world. Sometimes we put credence in theologies that are taught to us without thinking for ourselves, studying for ourselves. I don't believe that the gifts of the Holy Spirit have ceased. I don't believe that to be true. And so, ignorance, bad theology can lead to our lack of empowerment by the Holy Spirit. I want to say that another reason, This might be the biggest reason if we were kind of to, again, poll our congregation. Another reason is just fear, flat out fear. Because when we talk about the gifts of the Holy Spirit, it may cause a little trepidation, a little uneasiness because of probably maybe some of the abuses that we see. Maybe we see on television with some televangelists, or maybe we have experienced for our own as well. Or maybe there are times where we've seen some of the gifts of the Holy Spirit just counterfeited and faked. And so because of those abuses, because of the counterfeit, we sort of kind of remove ourselves and just kind of throw the baby out with the bathwater. Says, if that's what the movement of the Holy Spirit looks like, I don't want anything to do with it. But also I think we fear losing control. I think we fear if we give up control and truly surrender and yield to the movement of the Holy Spirit in our lives, we fear what God might have us say to somebody or what God might have us do for someone. And we might fear the type of person or the individual person that God might have us serve. We fear giving up control. Now, we sort of like our comfort zones because they're, by definition, comfortable. But as we'll learn next week when we talk about fulfilling the Great Commission, will involve taking faith-filled risks that always involves change. We'll realize that our comfort zones don't make our lives comfortable. They make our lives small. And God has a lot more in store for us if we would only yield to the movement of the Holy Spirit in us, the voice of the Holy Spirit whispering to us and giving us an assignment to do that will advance the kingdom of God. And to put some of your fears at ease, one of my favorite verses is 2 Timothy 1:7 that addresses this issue of fear. And it's one of my favorite verses because I've struggled with fear throughout my lifetime, or at least anxiety or trepidation. And it says that God has not given us a spirit of timidity, or in some translations say a spirit of fear, but it's a spirit of power, a spirit of love, and of self-discipline, or some translations say a sound mind. So the Holy Spirit will always give us the empowerment, all that we need to follow through in the assignment that He gives us. He always will give us the power, everything we need to follow through in the assignment that He gives us. And I have to say that we are never more in our right mind than under the influence of the Holy Spirit. We're never more in our right mind than under the influence of the Holy Spirit. If somebody is out of control and attributes it to the Holy Spirit, it's not the Holy Spirit. I can say that with the utmost confidence. And so we don't have to fear the abuses that we've seen. We don't have to fear the counterfeits. Because when the Holy Spirit comes, He will bring the real thing. And so we just have to die to ourselves and allow ourselves to be influenced by the Holy Spirit. Because I have to say that you are never safer. You are never safer than in the will of God. There's nothing we need to fear when we give up control and totally submit to the will of the Holy Spirit. Third obstacle is apathy. Now, I was going to put this first because I was wondering if the apathetic might have checked out by now. You know, might be looking at their phones or reading their magazines or falling asleep or anything like that. But I might have woken some people up. I'm not sure. But I want to say that I think the Puritan William Law might have said it best when he said that most Christians are just as holy as they intend to be. Most Christians are as holy as they intend to be. And you know, I think Jesus would agree, because He did say in Matthew chapter 5, verse 6, that blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. And so if you're content in just punching in a time clock at 10:15 on Sunday morning and leaving at 11:15, or okay, let's face it, 11:30, and that's kind of all what you get during the week, the only spiritual sustenance, you're missing out on all that God has for you. If your view of Christianity is just sort of getting your get out of hell free card, you're missing out on all that God has for you. He created us to make a difference for eternity. He's giving us Himself, the Holy Spirit dwelling inside of us, to allow us to be more Christ-like. And if you're afraid of that, if you don't really want that, you're missing out. And I have to say that if you say you believe that Jesus was God in the flesh and that He truly did die on the cross for our sins, and those that don't put their faith in Him as the forgiver of their sins, the Lord of their lives, if you say you believe that and yet are apathetic towards the people that are headed to an eternal separation from Him, I think it's time you really gut check time to really take stock and ask yourself, do I really believe that? Do I really believe that Jesus is the Savior of the world? That Jesus is who He says He was in the Scriptures? Because if you don't believe, you're headed towards eternal separation. And the book of James just say, you believe that there is one God, good. The demons believe that. And they shudder. And I'd like to see everyone here in this room be spending eternity with God. I mean, that's why I do what I do. It's because I have a burden for those that are far from God. And I want to raise up the body of Christ and mobilize the body of Christ to be able to reach out to a lost world. And of course, the last reason why we may not experience the indwelling of the Holy Spirit is the presence, the continuing presence of sin in our lives. Now, it's true that those of us that call Jesus our Lord, our Savior, are going to heaven. We have the Holy Spirit within us. But if we continue to willingly disobey God's command, we grieve the Holy Spirit, as Ephesians 4:30 says. Or we quench the Holy Spirit, as 1 Thessalonians says. That when we willingly choose to do things that are contrary to God's will, we do away with the Holy Spirit's influence in our lives. And God honors our decisions. If we willingly, continually choose to do things that are contrary to God's will in our lives, contrary to do things that are Christ-like, God will honor that. And He allows the Holy Spirit to be quenched in you and I life. As a result, we don't experience the power of God because we always choose things that are not of God. But I have to say that on the flip side of that, I want to paint a positive picture that when you overcome all of these examples, the book of Romans in chapter 8, verses 1 through 17, or Galatians chapter 5, verses 16 through 26, talks about life in the Spirit, under the influence of the Spirit, about how we can be delivered from the bondage of sin if we want to be. If we hunger and thirst for righteousness, if we hunger and thirst for the things of God, we can be freed from the bondage that sin has taken on us. We can be freed and empowered to live a life of significance, to make a difference for eternity, for the kingdom of God. We can be free to live the abundant life that Jesus said that He came to give us. We can be free to to have purpose in life. We can be free to have healthy relationships and do life God's way. And so I want to read to you Romans chapter 8, at least part of it. And after that, we'll end our service. I'll dismiss you. But I want to give an invitation at the end of this all. That if you're experiencing any of those four obstacles to the Holy Spirit's influence in your life, indwelling in your life, I want to invite you to come forward after service. I'm not going to be out in the lobby area. I'm going to be right here in the front of the sanctuary, willing to pray with and for anyone. Be praying for you to just, for the Holy Spirit to indwell you. And I have to say, this is some of the abuses that we've seen, haven't we? On TV, or maybe we've been part of revival, where the preacher gets up there and said, I will pass on the Holy Spirit to you. That's not what would be happening. It's you taking the initiative and coming forward and saying to God, okay, God, I'm willing to overcome some of those four obstacles that Pastor Mark just talked about. I want to have more of you. It's your decision to surrender to God so that you can be filled with the Holy Spirit. And it's the body of Christ coming around you and praying in agreement. That's what allows you to have the indwelling and the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. It's your willingness and it's God's initiative because God made the first step already. But in Romans chapter 8, verse 5 says that those that live according to the sinful nature have their mind set on what that nature desires. But those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their mind set on what the Spirit desires. The mind of sinful man is death, but the mind controlled by the Spirit is life and peace. Do you want life and peace? The sinful mind is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law, nor can it do so. But those controlled by the sinful nature cannot please God. Goes on to say in verse 9, you, however, are controlled not by the sinful nature, but by the Spirit. If the Spirit of God lives in you. That's a big if. And if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to Christ. But if Christ is in you, your body is dead because of sin, yet your spirit is alive because of righteousness. And if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who lives in you. Therefore, brothers and sisters, we have an obligation, but it is not to the sinful nature to live according to it. For if you live according to the sinful nature, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the misdeeds of the body, you will live, because those who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. For you did not receive a spirit that makes you a slave again to fear, but you received the Spirit of sonship. And by him we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Now, if we are God's children, then we are heirs, heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ, if indeed we share in his sufferings in order that we may also share in his glory. Do you want to share in his glory? Do you want to overcome some of the obstacles that maybe have been hindering you in your spiritual life? You'll have an opportunity. You'll have an opportunity to come forward after service. I'll be willing to pray with you. And we invite any and everyone to come pray with whoever comes forward. Because I said, it's your initiative. But it's the body of Christ coming around to support you and praying in agreement. And Lord willing, we will do so. So let's pray. So Father God, you have given us your Holy Spirit to dwell in us, to empower us. Forgive us for the times in which we have taken that for granted. Father, let today be a new day. If there is anything that is hindering us, Let us cast that aside. Let us make the commitment to say, God, I want more of you in my life. I want to do things your way. I want to make a difference in your kingdom. God, I want to do things with the empowerment of your Holy Spirit, not with my own natural talents. And Father, I pray that this can be a day in which we can look back in the life of Frewsburg Alliance Church and say, yeah, there was three, half a dozen people, if not more, that came forward, and this started a movement of God in Frewsburg Alliance Church, and the community of Frewsburg and the surrounding communities were never the same. And so, Father, we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So I ask for you to rise as I pronounce the benediction. You may leave quietly, or you may come forward. So may you throw off the sin, the ignorance, the apathy, the fear that may hinder you, being filled and under the influence of the Holy Spirit. And may you be free to run the race under the filling, the empowering of the Holy Spirit as God intended you. So God bless you all. You are dismissed.